All right, well, good morning. I'd like to start by thanking Bob Chang for allowing me to participate in your meeting this way. This is the topic you're discussing is one that is of great interest to me. I'm sorry I'm not able to be with you in person, but I hope I can share a few of the experiences that we've had over the past decade or so. So what I'd like to begin with is a brief discussion of the Network for Computational Nanotechnology. This is a National Science Foundation-funded initiative that was established in 2002. It has a mission in research to move nanotechnology or move nanoscience towards nanotechnology, but it also has a very strong infrastructure mission. And our mission is to connect experts in theory modeling and simulation to experimentalists who use simulations, to disseminate the insights and understanding that come out of that work, as well as the research methods themselves, to promote cross-disciplinary education and research. And in the process, we hope to establish new modes of research, education, and collaboration. Now, a key strategy for us has been what people in the U.S. these days call cyber infrastructure, and that's embodied in a science gateway that we call nanohub.org. The signature service that this gateway offers is simulation at your fingertips. It allows a user to access a simulation tool, fire it up, and do all of their work through a web browser without ever having to download, install, and support software. And it includes another number of other features, online training for the use of these tools, but also a very extensive set of educational resources and tools to allow people to collaborate. So what I'd like to do in the next few minutes is to describe what this infrastructure is and how people use it. Now, just for the briefly on the signature service, which is online simulation, this is an example of how it would look. This is a simple little tool that does electronic structure of carbon nanotubes called CNT bands. If you fire this up in your browser, it looks like a little Java applet. You input some input parameters, hit the simulate button. It produces results like output graphs and images like this. These are live graphs. You can zoom in, download, manipulate the data, change the axes, or download the raw data and plot it yourself. You can also visualize the atomic structure of the nanotube, and this can be rotated and done in real time. So it very much gives the user the perception that the simulation tool is running on their machine, but it's actually running on a server somewhere back at my home university. This is made possible with a software platform called Rapture, Rapid Application Infrastructure, a platform which allows users to very quickly take an existing code, put a nice interface on it, and web enable it. Maxwell's Daemon is middleware that does cloud computing and provides the compute resources and maps the display back to the user. And NanoViz is a visualization platform that allows you to do visualization in real time. So we now have more than 170 tools on this website, and that's really what the website was first established to do. And I have time only to give you a couple of quick examples of how faculty are using this technology. Gerhard Klimek is my colleague and director of NCN. Gerhard does some very ambitious simulations, things like multi-million atom simulations of quantum dots and electronic devices. One of the things that Gerhard has done is to take components of this sophisticated simulation package and package it as smaller, very specific tools that are broadly applicable to what many people, the problems that many people need to solve. And one example is Band Structure Lab, which calculates the electronic structure of bulk semiconductors, nanowires, thin films. It's actually the most popular tool on the website now. And you can see the numbers here. There are a significant number of people using it for their research and actually citing it in papers that they publish. One more example is my colleague Arvind Raman, who's a mechanical engineer. Arvind looks at the at dynamic atomic force microscopy. He tries to understand the interactions between the AFM tip and the surface of the structure, the dynamics of the cantilever, the feedback system that controls all of that, and what the resulting image looks like and how it's related to the underlying atomic structure. You can see here, you know, after a number of years of doing this, Arvind embedded the understanding that came out of all of this work in a software package that was actually a virtual atomic force microscope. And you can see that it's attracting a good deal of attention. It was the cover story on this journal, Reviews of Scientific Instruments, which is devoted to scientific instruments. And this is kind of interesting because the code that he has developed, Vida, is a virtual instrument. And it's now used, in fact, by every AFM manufacturer in the U.S. for training. And it's led to an awful lot of new opportunities and work for Arvind himself. So that's an example of how people are using the infrastructure. Now, this might lead you to think that it's only about online simulation. But Richard Hamming was a very famous computer scientist. And one of the things that he pointed out is that the purpose of computing is insight, not numbers. Now, numbers are a very important part of what we do. But often in the process of developing a simulation tool, Hamming pointed out that what you learn about the problem in instructing a computer to solve that problem is often the most valuable outcome of that activity. So we have a number of people who are really using the NanoHub in this forum as a way to disseminate insights and understanding. And this whole idea of using the web as a vehicle for the diffusion of knowledge has become more and more important to the NanoHub. As an example, let's go back to the transistor. It was invented in 1948. The people at Bell Labs that did this published scientific papers. Shockley wrote a book. These were traditional ways of disseminating knowledge. But that wasn't enough. Even with an idea that was as great as the transistor, they had to work very hard to get this knowledge out to the community so that others could take use of it. There were a set of transistor workshops that Bell Labs had where they would bring people in, teach them transistor physics and how to use transistors, and people would leave with an understanding of how to make use of this technology. Somewhat later, in the mid-60s, a group of people realized that the future of electronics was semiconductor electronics, but students in engineering were all being taught vacuum tubable electronics. So that led to an initiative called the Semiconductor Electronics Education Committee. And it produced a set of 6 paperback books and a number of videos that helped engineers learn semiconductor physics and that really sort of ignited the semiconductor revolution in engineering. So people work very hard. And now these days we have the World Wide Web and we have a new vehicle for the dissemination of knowledge. So one thing that we're doing on the NanoHub is not just disseminating the simulation tool, but also disseminating the methods underneath that tool. And one example is the non-equilibrium Green's function formalism that's used to describe quantum transport in these nanostructures. We've been very active in disseminating tutorials, papers, actual snippets of code that teach other people how to use these simulation techniques. And the result has been a very significant adoption of this method within the community, and it's now very, very widely used. But it's not just research methods. It's the understanding that come out of these simulations that are very valuable too. And we have a couple of people that are very effective in doing this. One is my colleague Cipriano Datta, who is involved in an initiative with several of us called Electronics from the Bottom Up that seeks to understand electronics from a completely new perspective, beginning at an atomistic scale. And this is a conceptually very simple but very powerful technique for looking at not only small electronic devices, but also relating large electronic devices to their understanding atomic scale constituents. And Cipriano has been having a lot of impact on the NanoHub. Last year alone, there were 15,000 people who viewed his tutorials and courses. In fact, the last time we looked at the search terms on the NanoHub, the most popular search term was his name. So this is a way that some faculty are finding to have great impact and get their ideas out in the international research community. Another example is our colleague Vlad Shalayev, who works in the area of nanophotonics and metamaterials. Vlad has a course called Nanophotonics that has over 13,000 people across the world have viewed that course. So this is another example of where a person who does theory and simulation is really using the platform to disseminate the insights and understanding that come out of that work. So I've been talking about one NanoHub community, and historically, this is why I got started in the project, was asking the question, how can these new technologies help me as a faculty member do my research and my education and my collaboration more effectively? And I've given you some examples of how the research community finds this valuable. Now, a second community, actually a much, much larger community, is the user community that has developed. So these are people who come to the Science Gateway seeking to run simulations or to take courses. They're very interested in high-quality content. They're also interested in social networking aspects of the site. We need to be very careful about making the website very usable. There are a lot of features on here designed for this community to engage them. Things like you can become members of the NanoHub community and earn points by answering questions and reviewing other content. So this has become a very large part. So these two separate communities, one that's interested in collaborating more effectively, in disseminating their ideas more effectively, one that's coming to it for new content, new understanding, and they come together in the NanoHub website. So the website has proven very effective for us. It has become a major international resource. We track user numbers every year. They continue to grow rapidly. We now have more than 120,000 people a year using this website, which, you know, considering the fact that we only touch a small fraction of the nanotechnology space, is a significant number and really, I think, is an indication of the power of these kinds of technologies. Now, I want to mention that the underlying technology platform is something that we had to build in order to do all of this. It's now been spun off into a separate activity. The platform itself is called HubZero, and it is an IT platform constructed of many standard packages, standard components that are put together in a very powerful way that allow us to publish content, that allow users to upload and manage and create their own content very effectively, that allow us to collect statistics about who's using it and where they are, and many other things. And it includes Maxwell's Demon, the cloud computing infrastructure that enables this online simulation, and the Rapture toolkit, which makes it easy to put interfaces on codes and in the future will allow us to do more complex workflows. So let me end just by summarizing some of the outcomes of this project so far that may be of interest to you as you think about an international virtual community. One is that we think that this has been a real demonstration that these kinds of technologies are very effective. The second point I want to make is that the underlying technology platform is now an open source platform that's available to other communities. And in addition to the NanoHub, now the NanoHub is one of about 20 such hubs that are either currently deployed or in production today. So it's a model that's being exported to other fields as well. And there's a growing community of people that provides best practices and understanding about how to do this effectively, but also a growing community of technology developers that are working on the underlying technology and developing it in many different ways that will make it more and more powerful. So I hope this gives you some idea of what the NanoHub experience has been all about, and I hope that it stimulates some thinking on your part about how a similar technology, perhaps even this open source technology, could be effective in the kinds of things that you're discussing here today. And thank you again, Bob, for allowing me to participate in the meeting in this way. Thank you all.